traveling friends. Greetings from Uganda. The cockerels are also sending their greetings to us all. This is Africa, so you'll ignore some of the background noise. But I'm privileged to be with you with my friends from Global Link Africa. Global Link Africa, I will ask my friends to tell you a little bit more, actually, rather than me saying. So, Sam, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit briefly about Global Link Africa?
Thank you, Seb. My name is Samuel Folot. I am privileged to serve as the team leader for Global Link Africa. And it's been a joy for the last 7 or so years to work with Global Link Africa, doing mobilization, creating awareness, especially in Uganda and in South Africa, on missions issues, creating platforms for training and equipping those who have an interest in missions, and working in partnership with the church to send out Ugandans and East Africans for now to serve in places of need. So as a ministry, our focus is really mobilization, creating platforms for training, as well as partnering with local churches to send workers.
Thank you. Derek, would you share a little bit about you?
My name is Derek Akampa. I'm glad to be part of the GLA family. I've been through Kairos. I was mobilized through the Kairos for here. I've done a bit of mission work, and I'm still preparing to go for long-term service. So GLA is my home.
Where do you believe the Lord might be calling you to, Derek?
Yeah, I not only believe, I'm sure the Lord has said I go North Africa, Middle East. So I'm preparing to go.
Thank you. Yeah. So Sam and Derek, what are some of the challenges for Ugandans going into cross-cultural mission?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One of them is systems and structures within the local church that actually allow for people to step out. For long, the church in Uganda particularly has been receiving. We've received missionaries for over 100 years. And I think that not enough has been done to build within the church systems and structures so that then from the church we could also be sending. So I'm thinking even intentional, deliberate awareness on missions needs within the local church. Secondly, mechanisms of support for people. And I'm not just talking financial. I am talking if somebody has gone, how do we care for them while they're in the field? We have gaps around there. And definitely training and equipping, there are still gaps around those areas. A lot of the challenges around arise, in my opinion, from a lack of preparation for missions work. That really would be done within the local church, in my opinion. Otherwise, you have a people who are zealous, they want to go, but, you know, they face structural barriers, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Derek, what have you experienced?
I will also speak from part of my experience and what I've seen. I would say the first thing, I would call it maybe awareness. So all through campus, we have always known missionaries, these guys who come to us. So it's not in our system. It's not something we do. So even the time you're fired up in campus and you're at your height of what you can do for God, being a cross-cultural missionary is not in the picture. So you do not know about it. And so it takes a lot for you to know about it and even decide to go for it. So that part of, we do not know that we can also be cross-cultural missionaries. Mm. So the second thing is, once you have crossed that barrier, there's the family issue. Mm. That is big. Mm. And I come from a culture in the Western Uganda where we love God and we serve Him. And so you'd expect once you get saved, everyone is happy. You want to become a missionary, they said, now we need to pray for you. It will have become too much. So that thing where even our families feel that extra part of being missionaries is not for Africans. Mm. It's not for us. It's that part of family, and that is quite big.
And I think just to add to what Derek is saying, usually when we send our children to school, we send them to school so that they can get a job, you know, and some money and support the rest of the family. Now, when someone comes later on to say they feel the sense that, you know, God would be wanting them to step out to do something that would require for them to raise support, that's a whole different dimension. And it's not very easily understood. And so in situations like that, you'll find family, friends, people getting to you and thinking, man, you're a whole engineer, look for a proper job. And so it's a struggle to break through from that understanding of work. Missionary work is not necessarily work. It's for special people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also because then you have to step out to look for support, people are thinking, man, you went to school, should get a job. Why are you now looking for money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be earning and supporting family. You shouldn't be coming to us to ask for money so that you can go. So that's there's a very difficult challenge there. And it's not just family, it's even church. You know, it's friends, it's church leadership, it's people who should be encouraging you, inspiring you on. I mean, I can tell you, I'm a teacher of physics and chemistry, and I know, and I served with a Christian ministry for quite a while. I don't want to get into what that institution was, but the chairman of the board there, when he discovered that I trained to teach physics and chemistry, I thought he'd be excited that I'd signed up to Christian work. You know, he was like, oh my, physics, chemistry, what a waste. I'm thinking, you should be number one in encouraging me. You are the board chair of this institution, honestly.
Mm.
You are the board chair. But he's thinking it's a waste for me to give up, quote unquote, teaching physics and chemistry for missions work. Well, that's part of, it's a big challenge, actually. It causes many people to get discouraged and even step out, even when they felt clearly that, you know, the Lord was showing them that path.
Mm-hmm.
What about some of the financial challenges? What are the financial challenges?
Yeah, maybe picking up from what he said, because it's not actual job. So again, from where I come from, it's not called support raising, it is called begging. So, first of all, the personal, you overcoming that barrier of I am going to beg, it's not something we do. We don't beg, you studied. So first of all, changing that perspective of looking at support raising as not begging, but calling people to be involved. So that barrier is there. So until you cross that barrier, you actually cannot raise support.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, also the barrier is for you to cross, but also for your supporters to cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now we do weddings. So people give lots of money for weddings because we all know what weddings are. But when you go to raise money for missions, it's something strange. First of all, for you, but also to the person you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not even talk about the pastor, because the pastor and reverend is like, what are you doing? See, you want to be, see, you go and study and be a reverend.
Mm-hmm.
So the church is not in the picture. It has, so there's that, you yourself have to overcome the challenge, but also the person you're telling. And because of that, then there's, like Uncle Sam said, the support is, it's
hard to come. Struggle.
Yes.
It's a struggle. I think part of the struggle is we've grown up contributing to one-offs. You know, somebody's getting married, an uncle brings a cow, you know, somebody raises some money, and it's easy for family and friends and church to rally around something that's, you know, the event passes, and then we can all go back to our normal lives. But for continuous, ongoing, consistent support, that's difficult. I don't even know how to put it, but I think that the culture is, we don't have a culture of consistent, continuous support. And so even those who get excited to support you will give you a one-off. They'll give you a generous gift once. Or they may give you a generous gift and forget until the next time you show up, you know, and then they give you another gift. So one-offs, you get one-offs. And so you find that if you're planning a training event, for example, it's an event, you can very easily mobilize money for that because it's a one-off. People will give to it, they see the budget, they will contribute to it. But for a missionary who is going to live in the field and needs to be supported on a monthly basis, for people to commit to give regularly, that is a tough hill to climb. And that's something that many, many of us actually experience.
I think for most of us, if that part of, okay, you've heard, you feel God is calling you to be a missionary, so what next? In my church, for example, if someone, maybe 5 years ago, you came and said, I think I want to be a missionary, you'd obviously go to Pasi. He's like, so I think you should either join a Christian ministry, we know, maybe Navigators or something, or be a reverend. But if you said, I actually want to be a missionary, he is as lost as you are. Okay, where do we start? So we don't have that quick info. And I don't think I know any other indigenous missionary agency apart from GLA. So I'm thinking someone in two districts from here, if you said, I want to be a missionary,
there's it is. No structure to support that.
The structures. How do you even start? Where do you go to? And so you go on internet and you Google all these mission agencies and you're writing an email to UK and it's tough. How do you start in the first place?
True.
So that's the third one. But also building up on that, if you somehow manage to land on an agency somehow, they tell you, okay, now we need you to send us your CV, put six referees, put 10 referees, you're going to do 2 years of Bible school, then after that 1 year of training for us, you're like, hallelujah.
I'm ready to go.
You have to raise support meanwhile along the way. Make sure your budget is 100%. So because we are not used to those structures, you're thinking, I was already willing. I've overcome 1, 2, 3, 4 barriers. You're adding on this. You know what?
Yeah.
I think let me go and work in Uganda and I'll reach my neighbor.
Yeah.
So,
So systems and structures and all that goes with that.
Yes.
We're not used to it. Yeah. They're not bad. They're new.
And we need alternative models.
We do need alternative models. We do need alternative models. We do need to engage, especially church, on what actually works for Africa. What actually works for Uganda. What works for Uganda. If our culture is one of one-offs, how do we work that into creating a system for raising support? The other thing is, we actually support as a community, not necessarily as individuals. Because when someone is getting married, for example, the whole community comes together. How do we work that into our church systems for missions work that as a community, not looking for individuals who are willing to give, but as a community of believers, how do we work that into church? And those are the questions we need to engage with. How do we as church look at missions work as a community? Because that we easily understand. Individual personalized support many times doesn't make sense for us. So that's something we need to engage with as a church. And maybe that's a role that agencies like Global Link Africa can facilitate conversations around, so that, you know, we engage the church. Because I believe that there's enough resources here to actually support missions work. We do have gaps, no doubt. But I think that if we worked around the limitations and the barriers, I think that we would be able to actually support people to go out and do missions work.
Thank you. So changing tack slightly, what role do you believe Sam and Derek, the Western missionaries, people like myself and other from other organizations and friends from AIM who will come. What role do we have to play here? Given that the church here is growing, it's strong. My understanding is the church in Africa is even one of the fastest growing in the world. Much faster than our church in the UK. So what role do we have to play?
I mean, I could say two things and hand over. The first thing I would think is that part of, let me call it inspiration, that part where like Seb comes in and meets me and is like, by the way, I am a person like you. I had dreams like you. I laid them aside. There's nothing special about me coming. So you actually also can do the same. When I first went for Kairos and Uncle Sam came with Uncle Brian, I met Uncle Brian. And he was an engineer like guy. In fact, he had studied a master's. And you know, so I felt like, oh, so we are the same. I can actually think about doing this thing. So there's that part of where we can be inspired. They can come to us and tell us, by the way, the thing is not ours. You can also come and join us. Then there's that thing I thought about, that part of, again, in the same, maybe self-fuel, like, come on board, write your own material, come up with material, that inspiration of
self-theologizing.
Yeah, self-theory. yes, that one. But that feeling of, you know, come up with what works in Africa when we talk about supporting, what works for you, which it's not, this is supreme. Try out what works for you. When you go as an African, what will work for you on the field? How do you handle them? Come up with systems and try them out. You know, we also tried out us. And it's, so that part of inspiration, I feel that's a big something. Yes. And you know, we still need, I think, to go to places, because there are places where, as our church, we still feel that's too much for us. We are not yet there. Most churches cannot yet adopt a missionary to stay long term in some fields. But for now, so we need you to be
still there, part of some of
it. Yeah, step part until we are up to the challenge.
And I think that even when we feel we are up to the challenge, I actually think that there's beauty in all of us working together. Everyone bringing their strength to the table. Everyone bringing their experience, the things that God by his providence has allowed to flourish and shine in your context. You know, if each one of us, obviously not everything will work everywhere, that's obvious. And I think that speaks into probably the posture from which you come, but maybe we'll get to that later. But I think two things. Number one is there are fires that are burning currently in Africa. There's indigenous missions organizations that are beginning to emerge. There's a fresh awakening to missions within Africa. There is growing interest within Africa for involvement. And I think that one of the things you could do is to come and spur and encourage those fires with your experience, but not necessarily wanting it done the way it is done the other side, you understand? But sparring, encouraging, motivation. I think the other thing that is key is even when we come, when you come, it'll be good to come to encourage local initiative as opposed to what's the word, to replace, to you know how you work in such a way as to create a system of dependence. You understand? You know it all, you have it all, so you're not looking out to see what is working, what works. you're not engaging to understand what are the issues here, what are the strengths I can encourage. I think more for people who have a lot more experience in this work, the bigger role is that of an encourager and a friend and a partner.
So then finally, what are some of the attitudes that we need to come with? Are people like myself, new, young, passionate and zealous and want to come and serve here? But what are some of the attitudes that we need to come with? You, Sam, you mentioned the posture and you mentioned the encouragement. Posture. What are some of the
I think I have had, I haven't had interactions with friends from the West. Some, they come like there is nothing going on here, you know. It's like, we came to save you.
Africa needs me.
Africa needs me. We came to show you the light, you know. And I think that that's not very helpful because we are generally polite, by the way. So we will watch you, listen to you, and let you do your thing and kind of watch you from a distance. Because we are nice people. We will not...
you will not publicly criticize
us. We will not publicly
us.
Criticize you. We will allow you to do your thing and watch you. But soon you'll discover that actually you can't do this thing alone. And so I would like to suggest that it's important to come and listen and pay attention to the things that are going on. It's important to come not with an assumption that there's nothing going on, but because there are actually things going on. They may be slightly different. They may be maybe not too big, but there are actually things going on. And so it's good to come and listen and learn, and then we can grow together. So that's number one. Number two, I have also met people who come with a very superior attitude. They think everything rotates around money. So if I have money, then, I mean, someone, you know, stole us. You know, I can give you all the money you need to do all the work for as long as you can, you know, do some things. And I'm thinking, we refused the money. Because we felt, you know, there's something particular that God has asked us to do. And so if we simply switch to your way of thinking and doing things simply because you have money, well, we'll lose out on what God is trying to do. So a learner's posture and an equal friend and partner posture, I think is key.
Thank you. Derek, any thoughts?
I think the same as when you're traveling to any place is to have that sort of openness that you are probably told a lot of things and you've learned much, but some things will be different. It's always different from what you heard and saw and what you'll find. And this is both on the good and the bad side. There are some good things you'll discover which you didn't know. And there are some things which you were told and you only knew in studying, but when you meet them in face, you realize, I had this traffic jam, but I did not expect it this much. Or you heard Ugandans are friendly, but you didn't expect them to be this friendly. Yeah, so, you know, so come with that part. And also, maybe I would encourage you be open and you speak if there are some things you're not understanding. Why are all my neighbors bringing me food on my first week and lots of food? Do they think I eat a lot? No, yes, we eat food. So speak out. You know, don't feel like you're pressed too much. I might offend people. No, see, speak out so that we understand each other.
Yeah. I think that the other thing is really to, I mentioned this, I may be just repeating myself, but I mentioned there are areas where you're strong, there are areas where we're strong. But there are also areas where I see these, we would need to grow. And I think for bring your area of strength, bring it to the table, but also work with us to help us to develop and grow in those areas where we are lacking. But also do that in such a way that is sensitive to our contextual issues. Okay. Do that with sensitivity. And the way to appreciate the sensitivity is by actually listening. Listening and seeking to learn before you open your mouth very quickly.
It's not easy.
I know it's not. It's not. But if you put aside assumptions and not come with assumptions, and not come thinking you are the one who knows and who gives, but actually also coming knowing that I am here to learn as much as I am here to give. I think that helps a lot. And then identify people who are honest, sincere, who will tell you, my brother, culturally, Bang, he used the word Bang, culturally, that's really inappropriate, okay? And so identifying people like those, and there are many. There are many. I think the other thing that I find a bit of a challenge, especially with many of our Western friends, they prefer to work with individual people as opposed to working with institutions that have a proper system and structure of accountability. I have met many who have gone away grieved and have a terrible image of Africa, partly because they did not invest in looking out for institutions that actually have a proper mechanism of accountability. They chose to work with an individual. They chose to work with an individual and poured resources to the individual. And I mean, as you'd expect, if there's no mechanism of accountability, what do you expect? So I would suggest if you're seeking to work with us, please look out for institutions that have a proper mechanism and system for accountability. I would insist. Individuals are nice. I mean, many of them are charismatic and they easily charm you and win you over. But I can tell you the truth. It won't take long. It won't take long. Yeah. I insist. Institutions that have proper accountability mechanisms are the way to go. Partner with us. Be careful around walking and working with an individual who is not accountable to anyone. You know, many have been grieved and hurt because of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Yeah. Thank you, Derek. Yeah. Thank you, friends. So we pray that God will continue to bless you as Global Link.
And there are quite many institutions that are good and credible.
Thank you friends for listening.
To find out more about opportunities to advance the gospel among Africa's unreached peoples, visit eu.amint.org.